Okay, well, we can just begin by saying hello, can't we?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Oh, hello, listeners. You are very welcome to episode 3 of the Odd Jobs podcast
One,
with
two, three!
123 with myself, Kath Higgins.
And me, Ruby Carr. Whoa. We've
Yes.
never said our
You
names at the beginning.
I know, but I've just realized that maybe we should. I mean, I think it's clear that I'm Kat's Irish and you're Ruby, but you never know. People might be just discovering us on Spotify and they're like reading the description. They're like, who's who?
Or they might be discovering us on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, big update for the listen for the big Apple Podcast fans out there. We are now,
Hola.
we fixed it and we're now on Apple Podcasts, we think.
Yeah, we're treating it as an announcement, as like, oh, we've upgraded, we've joined Apple. I just didn't do the settings right at the beginning, so.
It's all right. And also, we're not 100% certain we fixed it. So we're just manifesting that it will be there by the time this podcast comes out.
Yeah. Oh, and you can also listen on Patreon and watch
Patreon.
on Patreon.
You can watch and you can watch on YouTube and you can also listen on Spotify. But Patreon allows you to do all of those things, watch and listen. And also, it will have our bonus extra content, our tea break chat, where me and
Yeah.
Ruby have a little catch up, talk about our weekends. Yeah, a
Yeah.
little surprise in there for you.
I had a
And
great
it's
weekend.
you re let me tell you something. Ruby had a smashing weekend. And if you want to hear about it, then go follow and subscribe on Patreon.
For
It's free.
free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we've done, I feel like that's, oh, we only had one, we've got an announcement to do at the end of the video.
Oh, yes. We
So
have a very exciting announcement at the end.
we'd love for you, obviously, this episode is so good, and we do have to act direct for this episode as well. But we want you to watch all the way through because it's amazing. And then you can hear a fun announcement at the end from us.
Whoop, whoop.
Now our asterisk about this episode is this episode was so good. It was so
So
much fun
good.
to record.
Honestly,
Courtney is
such.
amazing.
It could have gone on for another hour easily.
Yeah, it was wonderful, really funny, amazing. And then at the end of us recording, Kat went and like turned off the video and was like, "Wow, amazing!" And I went to the microphone and to the mixer and I went, "Oh, fuck! I forgot to hit record."
Whoopsies, silly Ruby. We should
Yeah.
state, listeners, that Ruby does like so, currently, anyways, because of again, information you can find out about on the tea break chat. I have had a lot going on in my life, so Ruby does so much of the admin on this podcast. So it was so unfair that Ruby was the person who screwed up an episode because honestly, she does 80% of the work to get these episodes working in the first place.
Yeah, but it's the fundamental thing of a podcast. I fucked up
Yeah,
the sound.
the audio.
It's like,
Yeah, it is
no.
a listening audio format. Predominantly, like I said, you can watch us, but predominantly. However, again, and in true Ruby Carr fashion, Ruby Carr may or may not have made the mistake, but Ruby Carr very much came in clutch and went to great lengths to try and fix it because we did have the audio from the camera that was recording, which wasn't like the best quality, but Ruby managed to put it through, I don't know what sort of wizardry, AI, internet
So many things.
fixing, but we have recovered it. And for the lion's share of the podcast, it sounds great. You won't really notice it. Honestly, if we hadn't raised it, it wouldn't be a thing. You can slightly hear it when we are laughing or being loud, which happens because, again, it's a great podcast.
Yeah, it's such a shame that we're laughing a lot in this
Oh
episode. Oh my
no,
God.
it's almost
What
like
a
it's
disaster.
hilarious. But honestly, I don't think you'll notice it that much. And I don't think it'll cause much problems. But we just wanted to note. And let me tell you, from next week, the audio quality, oh, it goes up tenfold. The best audio you've ever heard, people. We made sure. But, anyways, without further ado, I think we can just get into the podcast. Thank you.
Enjoy the
Enjoy, Courtney Buckner.
My dragging was really good because I decided that usually I'm always like 3 minutes late for things, but today I was like, oh, I'm gonna give myself some time. So I got in a little bit earlier and I like
Oh,
sat on the
nice.
District Line train the whole way. I didn't even have to change trains. That's crazy. And I love the District Line and I'll down this hill. Best line, District Elizabeth. And everyone was agrees with me. They think like Piccadilly's the fastest or whatever. No. Once
Big
you
Daily's not the fastest, Victoria's the fastest.
Well, yeah, but a lot of people say Piccadilly's great. What a man.
The District Line is so irregular.
It's yeah. not irregular. It comes like every 5 to 10 minutes.
Five to 10 minutes?
I'm in a rush, okay?
But there is.
It's always Anhalt, and you usually get a seat.
No, and the thing
That's
is...
That's because no one uses
Exactly. Like, I've actually never met another comedian who lives on the side that I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to make an hour 15 try hard, but I get on my District Line. But yeah, I got the District Line. And then I bought myself a coffee. And they were like, choose the bean. I'd never really been
to forgotten.
It was crazy. I was like, I just want a coffee. And they were like, well, we've got ones with like hints of chocolate, peanut, or whatever. And I was like, I only like peanut butter, so I went with that. Anyway, it was a great coffee.
Good, great.
That's kind of banana.
I would have thought they were like, choose your bean, like Colombian, Ecuador. You know, with wines, people are like, South African, or like, if you want a red, you get it from the south of France, or whites are good from, I don't know why neither.
No, neither to be there.
But weird that they were like chocolate and peanut.
It was delicious. I mean, there were like 10 different options for like mild, strong, different things like that. Anyway, my journey was good.
Yeah.
I was going to take class.
Yeah, great.
Also, I was really, you said normally you're 3 minutes late.
Yes.
That's so nice of you. I'm normally 10 to 15.
I don't know why it is. Like, I'm trying to be on time, but I think it's always 3 to 5 minutes late.
Oh, but 3 to 5 is fine. That's within the buffer.
Do you think a lot of, like, my fiance, we're not late, actually, she always tells me that, like, if you're on time, that's late.
Okay, so your fiance / wife would get on real well with my mother. Because, like, if you are not 5 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late.
Yes.
Like,
no.
Whereas, and God love her, she raised children that are, like, the exact opposite. But that's her own fault for marrying my dad, who is, like, never on time for anything. So, like, when they first got married, my mom couldn't hack it. They went to mass in separate cars. Because my dad was like, I can't, because mass is one thing with the whole village. Yeah. Like, you're not just late for the person you're rocking up to. Like, mass is a community. Everyone is judging you. I don't know if you were raised religious, but mass is not for a community to, you know, praise the Lord. It is very much for you to get everyone in a room and be able to see, oh, fuck, Barbara's wearing her shite jumper now. And like, so-and-so. Like, this is what mass is for, is to judge the parish. And my mom was like, can I walk in late? Because everyone's heads whip around and they see.
Yeah.
So then everyone was like, trouble in paradise, those two have only been married 2 months. They can't even make it to mass together. My mom would just leave. And she's had to do the same thing for Christmas Eve mass for my brother as well. He was like, going to make the same. My mom just left.
Oh my god, yeah, I afraid that from your mom.
I appreciate it. Fran, she's very clear about it. Shout out Fran. She is very clear about it. She's very much like, get everything ready the night before, lay everything out. Like, she is a nurse and she's very like...
She gives you every possibility.
Oh yeah, she sets us up for success. And we fail her regularly.
But I like that she doesn't let that hold her back. She's like,
yeah.
Like, I've given you every chance, every possibility.
Yeah.
I will be on time.
Catch up!
Yeah. To be fair, I don't know where it happened, because I remember vaguely when I was at school, I was writing my GCSEs, and at the school I went to, you didn't do your GCSEs out at your school. You had to, like, go to an out... I went to, like, an arty performance school, so there was always music. So they couldn't do... We didn't have exam conditions at our school, which wasn't possible.
Cause nice.
It was, like, a musical theatre school, so there were always, like, kids being
people
like,
oh, wow!
And you'd be like trying to learn maths, and it was just a very confusing time for everyone. But we had to like walk to a different centre to do our tests. We used to do them at this random centre nearby. And I said to my friend, we're going to meet this time outside school so we can walk together to do our maths GCSE. And she was late. And the next day, I remember so simply, I think I printed out an article that said, why being late is the most disrespectful thing you can do for a friend. And I gave it to her, and I was like, I'm never waiting for you for my GCSE again. These are these are life-defining exams. I cannot be late for GCSE English. And so I just never bought her again, and I gave her the article. And then now look at me, I'm like, quite going to say, whatever. But not for my GCSEs.
No. And we just check, what did you get your GCSE math? Because the life-changing...
Oh, I got May.
Oh, yeah. So she didn't need to be on time, she'd all
the
answers.
I did, I've never used it, ever. Yeah.
Well, they were life-defining.
Are you still friends with Stafford?
No.
Rob's not sensitive.
No, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, worth 16.
Yeah.
So, like, I move schools, things happen.
No, it sounds like you, like, destroyed her sense of self. She's rocking in the corner.
She's actually got that ass.
She's only a terrible human being.
Okay.
Anyway.
We were just going
to... Yes. Courtney, welcome to the Odd Jobs podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited.
We want to introduce you to all our lovely listeners. Yeah. So, this is a comedian,
writer,
content creator,
actor,
five-star debut Fringe show.
Yeah, for Big If True. And you're a Max Turner finalist.
With over 60 million views online.
You look so surprised.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Courtney.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to be honest, I'm hesitant to say the last name because every time I go, Butchner, I don't know.
That's, you know what, that's what everyone goes, Butchner, but everyone goes, Butchner.
Courtney Butchner. I'm so gassed about that.
Yeah. You were going to read off all of my, like,
yours, right?
Oh my God. I don't know
what. Because, Courtney, this podcast is about people who are very cool, glamorous, interesting jobs and lives, and it's about none of that. We're going to highlight it on the top because that's not what we're going to ask you about. We want to ask about all the weird odd jobs that got you to where you are now.
I don't know why I'm so gasped that you didn't
want to highlight it. Someone's going to say, who are you? And then that's the worst thing. You don't want to
Yeah.
People are so, but do we forget anything?
No, look at that research. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I also looked on your LinkedIn.
If I ever paid in. Oh, which is, I'll be honest, when I'm looking for comedians' credits, it's not normally where I go.
Okay. It's just briefly, let's mention the LinkedIn. I've had to cancel my. Why am I paying for a LinkedIn subscription? I also pay for, like,
you pay for LinkedIn.
Comedians don't need it. Someone literally said to me, when are you going to get a job on LinkedIn for being a comedian? I was like, I don't know why in my head. That was like, well, I'm going to get a LinkedIn and then I'm going to message all the... I've done nothing with that LinkedIn profile. Not helpful.
Wait, do you have to pay? I've never had a LinkedIn profile.
If you want to be able to message people specifically. You pay for, like, have I messaged anyone? No, I'm too scared. Like, what if they think I'm weird?
They will, because you're a comedian.
I know, I'm just meant to see you at gigs. If I decide I like you, not LinkedIn messaging.
So, like, this girl is lost.
Anyway, but just listen, that option is available to you.
Go message her.
Only for, like, the next month, because I cancel my subscription. So it's not time a whole month.
Well, we got credits, so it's all. It's done. It's all. It's done. It's improvements.
But our first question of the podcast is, what was the first way that you made money?
Yeah.
Can I just say, you guys look so cute together, just sitting like next to each other, like, both of you are like, yeah, okay.
We're friends.
Okay, you've been together before.
You know, we used to live together.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then I left.
Okay.
I know, I like
mentioning. You printed out a why being late. It's just all of your friends left on the kitchen table.
No, I couldn't do that. Ruby was very much the rules. I was never printing. Ruby was printing off rules, sticking them up. I honestly think you held yourself back from doing that.
Yeah, it was only a couple of Google
Docs. Did you stick them
people? I forced signatures on Google Docs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, number one, I was very stressed. It was during the pandemic, and okay. I needed some things in place.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a better housemate now. And I was a good housemate with you.
You were very, I would say, I had no problem with the rules or anything like that. What I had a problem with was that I, Courtney, used to get in the shower, you know, in your home. And I would come out of my shower and Ruby would be in my bed. She hadn't been in my room. I would have, you know, woken up in my room by myself.
In your outside clothes. Tucked into the duvet.
In my bed.
Hey, that was one time. And number two, it's because I said, hey, Catherine. Oh, I said, hey, Cat. Hey, Cat. And then you went, one moment, I'm having a shower. And I went, cool, and I'll wait for you in your room.
So, I didn't expect under the covers. Do you know what I mean?
You got it.
Also, we live in the same house. You don't have to wait in my room. Your room is literally across the hall. I mean.
You wouldn't get an idea in mind, you get my idea in mind.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. No. Because when she gets an idea in her mind, it's dangerous. No, but
it's dangerous or is it creative?
But wait, what was your first hustle?
Yeah, okay.
This is about you, Courtney, not about us living together.
Sorry. So my first job, like, was just babysitting. I babysit.
What age did you start babysitting at?
I just moved to the UK. I must have been like, no, actually.
Just moved to the UK?
So I moved to the UK when I was 14.
From South Africa?
Yes, yeah, so I grew up in South Africa until I was 14.
Oh my gosh, no way. Don't feel like you have
an accent. Unless I'm drunk or angry. Unless I'm drunk or angry, then it comes.
There's that great line that Pierre Cardelli has about a South African accent. Because he similarly was... I don't even think he was there till he was 14, though. Am I just... No. We're not going to speak bad about men. Well, we will speak bad about men. But Pierre's done nothing wrong. He has a great line. He's, do you know him? He's a South African comedian. Slash English. He moved when he was a child. I don't know what age.
So much cool. Anyways, yeah. I was like, how have you guys not met at the meetings?
We're not visiting him.
No, that's crazy.
He's a grandma.
He has a line where he's like, he talks about using his South African accent when he needs to like be in any way confrontational. And it's sent, and he goes, because it sounds like you have a gun in your mouth. And I was like, I really appreciate that line.
Honestly, I just think it's like, even when you're happy, but you have South African, like my mom, she'll be like, Courtney, I'm so happy right now. Yeah. And be like, yeah, so I moved here when I was like 14 and I babysat. But I think my first proper job, well, I kind of saw them at the same time. I was a waitress.
Classic.
Yeah.
And like, I like how you did this. Like, I was a waitress.
You mind it.
But
she
like,
does have musical theatre training. You can see it.
I was a waitress and also, so when I was waitressing, it was like a split restaurant where one side was like a cafe for students at the uni I was at. And then it had like a wall and a tiny door. And then the other side was a fine dining restaurant for like where they would take like guest lecturers or like people they wanted to, the uni wanted to impress. So one day I'd work at the fine dining and you're like in a college shirt with like your white, what, like white collar shirt and like a little skirt. And then the next day I'd be like a barista in that one, but you're either serving students at your uni or like random lecturers.
Real front of house, back of house type
stuff. Yeah, it's really weird dynamic.
There's more upstairs, downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
The back of house runner has.
Well, one, I was like, here's wine at 10 p.m. And the other, I was like, here is a hangover brunch. But at that time, I also started glittering. I was a glitter girl. Like, you know, what's a glitter girl?
I'm so glad you asked.
This time,
I think you said it like a thing.
I was a glitter girl. So basically, it's like, you know, at festivals, you like glitter people's faces. Sorry, sure. You've never had your face glittered.
Glitters.
Imagine you're like, no, I want to do that.
Sorry, but it's not a like blue glitter around my
face. You basically would go around, like, I went to like parties and festivals and like glitter people's faces and they pay you to glitter their faces.
Wow, okay. So how did you get that gig?
Well, at uni I started glittering my friends like just for fun and just got obsessed.
You just like bought loads of glitter and like, I'm going to just assault people with this glitter.
I bought loads of glitter and I like even when I handed my dissertation, oh, my mom's going to be so upset about I'm sharing this, but when I handed my dissertation I glittered my tits and I wore a crop top and then I handed my dissertation with glittered tits.
Just took off my crop top.
Wait, I was like in my shorts walking around uni campus like, yeah, my dissertation is about women being empowered. Honestly, when I look back, I'm like, wow, I really took the glittering so far.
Okay, wow. But so it was a real. Also, I'm still obsessed with the fact that this was clearly just you.
Just like,
and you were like, I was a character on this.
So it started as a meeting.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, like, I'm going to make this a hustle. Like, it went so far that I was like, maybe I'll make my own glitter brand. So I started an Instagram called Shimmer Sister. And I went around festivals and I literally be like, I'll give you free glitter if you follow me on Instagram.
You were joking.
Oh, like, glitter some people. And then.
Also, no one's got internet at festivals. So everyone's like, probably like, yeah, I'll do that.
And then I watched. I was like,
oh, okay.
And so I was adamant I was going to start this. I did like courses on Facebook. I have no ability to actually like do anything arty with my hands. Like I'm very much a words artist, but like I can't paint, I can't communicate anything from my brain to hand. So but glitter is shit.
Like, no, but glitter, you put glitter on things to cover up instead.
And
glitter so sparkly.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be fine.
No, but you need to be able to make patterns and stuff.
And like, you I feel like glitter on people is normally like on the cheekbones, like
a scanner. That's foundational. Okay. Then you get to like, you make people mermaids.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But the top of my like, glitter.
Also, what brands were you, like, did you, like, were you someone who like, were like, oh, this brand of glitter has got the best consistency? Oh,
there's hierarchy in the business.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah.
Business, yeah. At the time, I think they've finished now.
And what adhesive were you using as well?
Oh, great question.
Yeah,
so when I started, I thought Vaseline. That's what a lot of the girls use.
No. I've done that.
Then you move to like, okay, like a hair gel. And then you actually get glitter specific adhesives.
Really?
And it's all combinated. And I think the biggest gig I had is
I've done eyelash glue before.
That fake
eyelash glue, and that worked.
That's really good.
Yeah.
But I glittered Jude Law's. What was it? I went to this event.
Penis?
No. So
I was just like, Jude Law's wrong.
Jude Law, Sophie Ellis Bextor, and I think Mel from Melon's The Great Wish Bake Off.
Oh, yeah.
These people.
Well, Well, they were at this event where I was a glitter girl. And I think I got to go to Sophie Dexter. I can't remember now. It was so many years ago. But Doodle was there, but he didn't want glitter. And that was like my peak of
glitter. Okay, so you didn't do glitter. Doodle.
I only said no thanks. I was like...
I have
always asked for consent for glitter.
Yes. Good question.
Yeah.
How much are you charging people for the glitter experience?
Yes. God, I don't even remember. Like, not enough. Because I think I was like, oh my, well, the first, obviously I was going around festivals initially when I was trying to set up my sugar sister business.
You were doing this for the love of the game.
I was doing
it for the love of the game.
I'm spreading joy and I'm spreading that. And then I don't remember because I literally did two proper gigs. And then I, ADHD, lost interest in glitter and I never picked it up again. And this is like the story of a lot of my things. I like develop a hobby. I'm like, maybe I can make this a career. And then,
but that's sorry,
why did that come up?
Can I say I make a career?
Just a bit of that.
I know she's on LinkedIn.
Edit that.
I'm not editing that out.
No.
That's fine.
But yeah, I just like did the two gigs and then. I was like, no, I don't want to.
Wait, what was the party?
What
was the party that had a Julong Sophia Spectrum?
It was at the Lyric Hammersmith. They were doing like a mini festival of themes and stuff. So they were getting up on stage and performing lots of things, and the theme was festival themed.
My second question.
Yeah.
How much money did you spend on glitter?
No. I did not make a profit. Too much money.
Legal reasons.
I can't.
Well, you were giving out glitter for Instagram followers.
It's business, okay? Business savvy.
That's a growth mentality for sure, but I don't know that it's like, fiscally.
Spend money to make money, my friends. I did not make money.
And all you did was spend money, you never got to the maybe money
back. I have another suggestion.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned earlier, you have a fiancé, yes. So it'd be a wife.
Yes.
What if you had a glitter station on your
Yeah, you need to.
I never love that.
What's the vibe of your wedding?
Is it going to be like a party? Are you like, we just want a party, chill, like very... But to be fair, the thing that we've run into this hurdle, I think like usually in pairs, you have one of you who's been like dreaming about getting married since we're like 16 and I planned it all.
Right.
At least in my friendship groups, like there's always one who's like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
And I swear to God, if I go to one of more weddings where the husband turns up and goes, oh, this is all a surprise to me. I'm like,
yes.
But I
have been bridesmaids and been like going up to the husbands and they're like, we're doing what? And I'm like, you can
make a decision.
Genuinely get fucked.
Well, the problem is that Manny and I have is that neither one of us have been really dreaming about weddings since we were 16 for some reason.
Right.
So now we have to plan it. We're both like, I guess it'll get done when it gets done.
Right, okay.
And then we're like, oh, should that be now? Like, should now be when it gets done? And we're like, oh. Like I said to Manny, so we have this dynamic where every, like, smart event we've gone to as a couple, I've picked out my outfits ready, like, a week before. So I'm like, that's what I'm going to wear. And then, like, 2 days before, a day before, she'll be like, what are you wearing? I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear the yellow suit. She'll go, oh, I think I'm going to wear the yellow suit. And I'm like, what do you mean that's my suit? She's like, I don't really have anything else. And she knows that the thing is, she doesn't like shopping. So then I'll be like, okay, I guess I will choose a different suit from our wardrobe that we have, from my wardrobe.
Right.
So I'll be like, okay, I'll wear the big one. But every single event we've gone to, she steals my outfit, like, 2 days before, and I'm left blaming. So I said to her, you know, for this wedding, like, you're going to have to organize your own outfit. Because you can't wear mine.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to organise yours.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, no problem. She gets a laptop out. She types in white suit Zara. I was like, I will. My girl is ordering 2 day delivery. She's ready.
Yes. ASOS.
I said, do you have anything else? I was like, Zara seems pretty good. I was like, that
amazing.
Your budget on my dress.
Fair.
And that's what
I was. I really like it. I always think that as well with like queer relationships, that you have one wardrobe, like it's so great. And I think I would be the Maddie in that situation. Like, I don't like shopping, I don't like doing any of that stuff. If I had someone whose clothes I could fit into and they had already sourced an outfit, I would. I think Maddie's hat.
She's hat.
Do you know, does Maddie definitely love you, or does she just enjoy being able to do this?
The interesting thing about it,
because I'd honestly marry someone, like, it would factor into my head. But that would be a good reason to marry someone.
I mean, it's only for formal events. The interesting thing about Maddie's stuff, so she doesn't actually usually go into my closet for everyday clothes.
Right.
I use her closet more than she uses mine. She, every time I put on her outfit, she'll do this, this cute thing, where she'll just go, wow, that's bold. And what that means is, oh, I don't like it. And anything from Maddie.
No, we do want to come in. That's what that means, Maddie.
That was our reaction.
Anything that isn't a white shirt and blue jeans. It's old for Maddie. She's like, okay.
Oh, God.
Okay, crazy.
Like, I bought these trousers. All it has is, like, a white bit above it.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't get what that's for.
Okay.
And she was like, bold.
So, Maddie's sort of, like, in the granny era where, like, if it doesn't...
She loves a sweater.
Right, oh, yeah, yeah. Or, but also, like, it's one of those where you're like, oh, Should why would that be like that?
Yeah, why have you got ripped holes in it?
Oh, yeah.
Why, you paid for them, did you? Did you rip them yourself?
No, 100%. Okay, right. So she's got like dad's fashion vibes, 100%.
I love them.
So Glitter Girl came to an end post-college?
Yeah.
Okay. Post-college. We fell out of that.
I just realised I have no skill.
You did.
I have no.
But so many people in the profession don't have skill.
Oh yeah,
you've just got to have the gift of the gab.
I've seen so many CEOs. Like
in Glitter Girls.
Yeah,
I've seen so many CEOs.
There's a lot of also, CEOs in the Glitter.
I know many a face painter who are bad at face. I know one face painter who, when I was 8, did a bad job and I didn't like it. I'm still mad about it.
Yeah, but that's why I don't want to do the career.
But she still
look at you and they go, "That's not good."
But she still got the money and she still did that hustle.
It was me. I may or may not have lied before about any face painting abilities and got a job. Never in face paint, but I wrote my best mate into it as well. Because it was kind of a hustle, right? Basically, I was got a phone call on the way to school one day of a woman whose family I used to babysit for. She was like, "Hi, Catherine. My husband works at this place called the National Stud and the Japanese Guide." Right? The Irish people will know what I'm talking about here. It is a stud farm. Like a horse farm that is open to the public. So you go on tours around this lovely horse farm. It's got some nice gardens there as well. And there's like a nice little cafe. So just a touristy place. And her husband is into horses. So he owns the gaff. And she was like, "Oh, they want to put on an Easter egg hunt for like Easter for kids. But they need someone to dress up as the Easter bunny who's good with kids. And you're so theatrical and you're great with kids. I thought of you." It is 8 a.m. I'm on the way to school on the bus. And I was like, when? And it was in the Easter break. And I had a job. I always had jobs. That's the podcast. But I was in my 6th year, which is like... you're finally in your school where I leaving cert was called A levels. But in Ireland, the leaving cert's really intense.
Yeah.
So I hadn't had a job that whole year, but I was like looking into a summer, like no cash. And I also hadn't got myself a summer job yet. And so she was like, it'll be on over Easter, it's for like 2 days over the weekend, and it'll be like, we'll pay you cash in hand or whatever else. And I was like, yep, sign me up. And then I got in touch with she was like, "I'll put you in touch with the sort of manager." And then they were like, "Oh, we actually really want someone to do, we just need the Easter Bunny for like half a day, but we need someone to do face painting and whatever else." And I was like, "Oh my God, would you believe me and my best friend are very good face painters. Never face painted before in our lives." I think I lied and said we were doing art for leaving cert, like our A levels. We weren't. And so I just told my best friend, I was like, "By the way, you have to be here in this place at this time. I bought her some face painting kits." And they come with a booklet. And here's the thing, it was actually sent because butterflies are so fucking easy because you just
I don't have the skill for that.
And then Spider-Man is also really, really easy because you just draw loads of lines and then you sort of like web it between. So every child was either a butterfly, and then some kids would come up and be like, "Can I be a lion?" I'd be like, "No, I'm no yellow and I'm no orange. No, I can't do that for you." I was like, "It is Spider-Man or butterfly."
Like, "Can I be the Easter Bunny?" You're like, "On East? No."
Yeah.
That's my turn.
Yeah, they got that or like hearts on their cheeks and stuff. But then, when I was there, I like charmed the managers and stuff like this. I got myself a summer job in that place as a tour guide. Did it for all 4 years of college. And let me tell you, I love being a tour guide. Because guess what that is?
Subbing.
So I lied about face painting. Can't really grow your career, guys.
Do you want to know what I asked for whenever I'm so expected? I wanted to be a model.
See, now how the fuck are we painting this?
I don't know.
Well, look, you just put silver glitter and you go, "You're a model."
That's a glitter situation, not a painting situation. See, you and I together, we could have really fucking done some shit.
We really could
have. Okay. Our next question for you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
There is a structure.
Full hours later.
There's a format, we swear.
Right. What's something that you really should take off your CV?
Okay.
like a skill that's been on there, something you've had for a while. I don't know, like me saying I'd still come face paint and stuff.
Well, I got caught out on it a little. Not really, but like I...
A couple of years ago, I started this thing where, like, I was aware that I didn't really do much for fun. Like, as in, the things I did for fun, I always managed to make, like, not fun anymore.
Because you're turning into businesses.
Yes.
Which is turning into hustles, yes.
Guys, the fact I said karate is literally going to my mind and still in my head.
Like,
I can't get it out of my head.
Don't worry, I'll only bring it up every
5 to 10
minutes.
4 years later, I'm going to be thinking about that.
Karate.
Anyway. Back to the point. So I made this.
Just blame the South African accent. It just came out.
It honestly is. I think it murders different things. My mouth, what does it do?
We can ask Marty. Preview was late to that. Okay, go on.
Okay, so I wrote down this list of things I wanted to learn. So one of them was skateboarding. I got a skateboard.
Cool girl, yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna look sick. I don't have any coordination ability. So I started and I put it on my acting CV straight away. I was like, I got skateboards. And then I got an audition where they said, film yourself skateboarding. The way I filmed it, I set up the static camera and I started offside from here and I just went, pushed what? The problem with my skateboarding, I could only push my leg once. I couldn't move and push.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So once I was moving, I had to just stay still. So I started off screen and then I just pushed and went, and then I couldn't turn around. So off screen, I just picked up the skateboard,
flipped it around.
Put it down and then pretended like maybe off screen I'd like double loop. Again, the other way. And I did it like 5 times.
But somebody was asked to show them driving and they were just going.
Anyway, I didn't get that job.
Interesting.
And then my agent was like, can you do one where you're actually like someone's filming you the whole time? And
yeah,
I was like, I could not.
Oh, I've not been around to do that.
But you know what I think is amazing? It's like, I don't know if it's a creative thing, but like, I just thought, like, with you being like, I will learn to face it. I thought, well, if I get the job, I'll learn.
Yeah,
have to learn.
Yeah.
Anyway, I took it off.
Oh, no. You also tried skateboarding in lockdown.
Yeah, okay,
We did skateboarding. I was going to ask, like, what year were you skateboarding?
Maybe you were skateboarding. I was probably after a comedy game.
Just two cool guys.
I know, whoa, I know, John.
That's actually my set.
Yeah,
I'm just on one side.
You can't stop, you just go straight past.
Yeah.
If it's downhill, we're in trouble.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's.
No, I did it, we did it like 2020.
It was a lockdown thing for you, wasn't it?
It was lockdown, yeah. Me and my two pals, Simon and Alice, we did a podcast then. Oh my God, what, another podcast? You can't listen to it anymore. I think it's off the website, off online, but it was good. We called it the Whiskey Boys, and we dared each other to do things because we were three socially anxious girls.
Oh.
And so one of our dares was that we were all going to just learn skateboarding that week. And we're like, for fun, and because Alice really wanted to do it, and with the thing is, I have two older brothers, and so I sort of already had a bit of the skill, because I did it when they were teenagers, that I would grab their skateboard and have a go, but quite quickly, there was a photo where it looks like I pushed Simon off her skateboard.
Yes, and she also said, Simon is... I'm going to give her 5 feet, she isn't quite there, but I'm going to say she's 5 foot.
No, yeah, she's just...
Sorry, Simon, but it's true.
And then she fell and then immediately fucked her knee. And she's there on the floor like...
Ruby's there like tipping 6 foot. So the photo looks like a real attack.
Yeah, okay. I feel bad. But I liked it. It was good fun. It was just enjoyable to do.
Well, I still haven't managed to nail this.
Commodify it or commercialize it.
I gave my skateboard away because I was like, she's done. She's done all she can.
Farewell. What is the best job? So you've obviously done lots of different.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gone glittering to fine dining to baristing. Some of those back to back.
Babysitting.
But what, babysitting, of course.
Yeah.
What was the best job you ever had? Like your favorite job you've ever done?
So, like, I don't know if this is interesting or not interesting, but my favorite job is being a comedian. Like, I think because it was unexpected for me. Like,
right.
I really have this. And it's definitely been my favourite.
No, because I've just remembered your story of how you started doing stand-up, and so I'm excited for Catherine to hear it.
Okay, tell her. I was like, oh, I don't know where to start.
No, tell her. It's lovely. Okay.
Tell me.
It's really nice.
I think, like, so
I don't actually care. I just don't like Ruby knowing things.
For me, like, finding stand-up, it was such a joy and so unexpected because I was quite tightly wound. Sort of shock.
Oh, the woman who printed off the audacity of being late.
Yeah. And I had this dream that I was all that I was going to be an actor. Like, that was what I was always going to be. Although I had a brief period where I thought I was going to be a neurosurgeon. And actually, I did. I did.
That's the same question we were asked.
Oh my God, I did a master's in neuroscience after my drama school master's.
Dissertation got you into neuroscience.
Personality in resources.
I can imagine. What's the one thing we're lacking? Glitter tips.
She's a neuroscientist. It was in lockdown. I had this panic that I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I kind of, oh, there's a hair on the front.
Oh.
In sixth form, I thought I wanted to be a surgeon briefly, so I actually moved from the musical theatre.
I love that it's not doctor, it's straight surgeon.
I moved from the art school to a more academic school, so I was like, this is it, I'm going to be a surgeon. I changed my mind. Within like 6 months, I was like, I changed my mind. I'm going to be a surgeon. I'm going to be an actor. And then lockdown, what's going on with my voice? I'm doing lots of funny voices. Lots of funny this is my
She's got body. Range, Lance.
Look at my spotlight.
I need to because in the last like maybe 2 minutes of you talking, it's been, so I was doing this and then this, oh, hair on this. And by the way, oh, actor.
I'm so sorry.
I was just mentally going, how am I going to end at this moment?
What I quite like is that it's very much explaining the hopping around that your career has done is being
such a personification of your career path.
So I, in lockdown, was like, I'm going to be a neuroscientist. I watched too much Grey's Anatomy. It was fun.
We've all been there.
The funny story about it is they were like, we'll give you a call. And I thought it was a call to like just talk through what the calls could be. But it turned out to be an interview, but I didn't realise after the call. So I answered the call making scrambled eggs, thinking like very chill.
Yeah.
And I said to them, oh, if you hear, just don't worry about it, I'm just making eggs. They were like, okay. Anyway, I got it crazy. And I think it was King's College I went to. But within like 3 months, I realised I don't want to do this. So I didn't end up finishing that neuroscience thing, but I did get a student discount for the next 3 years, which is great.
Nice. Yes.
And that's
and that is also in and of itself.
Exactly.
You could all that glitter money's made back.
So. I did, but I wanted to be an actor. I was back on the acting path. I was made this play and then lockdown happened. I was like, great, I never have to do the play. Oh my God, I'm being vulnerable. This is amazing. And then like, no, you'll just do it after lockdown. And I did the play and a few people came to watch it and they were like, oh, you're saying it's like a one-woman comedy drama. It's kind of stand-up. Like, what you're doing is more stand-up than drama. And I think I'd said it was a drama because I was like, oh, well, if people don't... If I say it's comedy and no one laughs, then that's fine.
Yes.
I say it's a drama, and laugh, I can go, ha, it's a comedy.
Yeah.
And after that, I was like, well, you know what, maybe I'll do like a few five-minute sets just to give it a try. And I did like three or four. And all of a sudden, I got the fear. Like, I don't know what happened. Nothing bad happened. None of the crowds were terrible. Like it was all really good. I just was like, I don't mind late nights. I'm not going to do this.
Right.
And I stopped. I did like 4 5-minute sets. And I was like, I'm an actor. And I was writing at the time. So I was like writing stuff for TV. And I was like, I'm going to just focus on that. I'm going to be an actor. And about a year passed. And it was this time last year. No, June last year. I was with my sister-in-law. I was having a breakthrough, not a breakdown, as I call it.
Love it.
That's such good reframing.
You can tell she's a writer.
Yeah. So she was like, well, what's going on? And I was like, you know what? I'm trying to make acting work. I'm trying to make writing work. And she was like, well, what do you think you gave up on too early? And I was like, you know what? I actually think I gave up on stand-up. I think I just found a silly excuse about late nights or whatever because I was scared that, like, I'd put my energy into this creative project. Like, I have with acting and writing. Like, what if it doesn't work?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good at it and all these things. And she was like, okay, what's your goal? And I was like, I guess if I'm going to give it my all, my goal is that in 3 or 4 years' time, I'm going to take a show, a stand-up show to Edfridge.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. She was like, that sounds great. Let's like map out how you can do like your 5-minute gigs building up to that, whatever.
What a great series. Sister-in-law, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She's great.
What a great like career mentor, sister-in-law.
Yeah. Mm. And then the next day I got an email from Ed Fringe, just as I signed the emails. And like the Fringe is in a month. We still have some slots if people want to pitch a show. And I thought, hell yeah, I'm going to pitch a stand-up show. And I was like, well, I've got nothing to lose. And like, I can try and it's the universe. So I pitched the show. They were like, we love the show, why don't you come to Fringe next month? And I did in the meeting be like, just so you know, I've never really done stand-up, I haven't done it a lot, and I've not written the show yet. And the whole point of the show was that it was like something that was rewritten every night while you're at Fringe.
Okay,
so that kind of leads into that concept. And they're like, it sounds great, come to Fringe. And so I went to Fringe that next month in August, took my strength for the month.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. But I just,
personally, how did you get accommodation that late notice?
Oh my god, the stress.
Well, wait, can I give you one more? Sell out, run.
I was so lucky, to be fair. And this is like the thing I think about. Why I was liking Courtney, but now I'm
just, I shouldn't share. That's like, such a shame.
No.
This is really great.
It's also like,
also I love this because genuinely, I'm like, if this had happened to a man, I would genuinely go scorched earth. But I think the thing you were saying about like giving up on thing and on stand up when you started doing fights and that thing of late nights, I think I just got scared. I'm like, no, but I fucking constantly trying to explain this to lads in comedy when they're like, yeah, but like it's not that hard to get into, like, you know, we're all whatever. And I was like, the literal concept of heading out of your house alone at night to head to a bar where you're going to be publicly on stage and then have to walk home alone late at night on a Monday or Tuesday night and go to a, and we know these pubs are like, you end up in like all out assigned lounge and you've never been. City manager tells you where to go, all of a sudden you're like, fuck, it's time to walk through a park, I don't know where I'm going, I have to walk up somewhere.
And
And they're like, yeah, we're going to... I'm like, no, for a woman, that's literally dangerous.
Yeah.
The act of... before you ever step foot on the stage, that is so intimidating.
Yeah.
And I genuinely, think when you were saying, like, oh, I didn't mind the performance, it wasn't the audiences. I was like, no, but the actual, act...
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm going to commit to doing this 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
It requires a real resilience from women that I just don't think is required from... Sure, it's out of your comfort zone, whatever else, but the actual, reality is that is a more unsafe position for us to put ourselves in. And then you also get to the fact that it's very male dominated, you're in a pub, you're talking about your personal life. Men have said some weird shit to me, they've tried to follow me home, like all that kind of stuff.
But
so I'm really glad that then you came back to it and then it was such a solid sign that people
definitely
you should do this.
So I wasn't necessarily doing stand up, I was building skills, I was writing for comedy. So I'm gonna learn comedy.
Also
building that skill, building the confidence. I'd started posting a bit online, on TikTok, mainly about women's football at the time, but that gave me a bit of confidence. And I think the main thing I think about careers is sometimes letting go, and it sounds, at the time I felt like it was really painful, but letting go a little bit of acting and what I thought I wanted to be helped me discover a career that has made me a lot happier than I still want to act.
Yeah.
If I had never let go on that dream just a little bit to welcome something else in, I would have never discovered a career that has helped me feel so fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes as artists, we're like, well, I've been dreaming about this since I was X years old, so that's what I'm going to do. And actually, if you just take that moment to be like, maybe that isn't the thing. And it's not giving up on the dream, doing something different. Because the skills I've learned in stand-up have only helped with acting and writing and vice versa. But sometimes as artists were so scared to be like, I'm doing something different from what I thought my dream was.
Yeah.
And you can discover a career that makes you even happier. I also think what happened in that year that when I took that break and then came back to it is I not became more serious, but when I came into comedy, I took the craft seriously. Even though I was like, okay, I'm going to the Fringe and I'm doing this quickly. Having that year of growth where I was focusing on other parts of my career, I was focusing on who I wanted to be, meant that, and also doing things online and all these different things, it meant when I came into stand-up, I was a lot more confident about my voice, but also the seriousness I wanted to give my work, whereas before, sometimes, I'm a playful person, I love playing, I think it's so good to have that.
Yeah.
And also, there's also that element of balancing that play with I'm making something.
Yeah, being intentional.
Yeah, and I think that year kind of gave me that, because when I came into stand-up, I was like, wow, I know that I made a silly excuse a year ago to not do this. And now I'm here, and now I'm going to give it 100%. And it's so scary giving something 100%.
Yeah.
Because then if it doesn't work, you gave it 100.
Yeah, yeah.
But I kind of that year taught me, I'd rather do that than give it 50 and then be like, I'm going to have another breakthrough in a year's time.
I love it. I'm getting so inspired. Talk to you, Courtney, as well. I feel like if stand-up hadn't worked out, you could definitely be one of those, motivational people that just, I don't even
just
know.
Just a girl Roman.
Motivational speaker. Throwing glitter at the
audience. Yeah, also, it does not have one tab go forwards.
But it would be a wonderful speech to go to.
Yeah, I love it.
Sorry.
So speaking of your CV and stuff, what is the one thing that's absolutely not? I get that we've done glitter. I feel like
I feel like there's already
Ping ponged around. But is there a real outlier if someone's to look at your CV to be like,
I mean, the neuroscience thing is up.
Yeah. To be honest, I'd love to know what track we
even. That's not even almost easy. It was a 3 months of
me. Oh,
I'm going to be Derek Shepherd.
It's just lore. Yeah. Amelia Shepherd.
Oh my god.
Yes. Season 20 something is back.
Yeah, take 21.
I'm still watching.
Is it 21?
Yeah, it's so good.
Great.
Okay, an anomaly. Okay, I actually think, and a lot of people don't. So I like post content and stuff online.
Yes.
But when I first got into posting content, I've never posted content before. I bought these heatless hair curlers because my mum was like, "Call me your hair looks like shit." And I was like, "I'm okay."
That was your mum really happy, right?
Yeah, that's how
she was delighted.
I notoriously hardly ever brush my hair. Like, it's just, I'm not particularly fast.
Right.
I bought these heatless hair curlers because I thought, you know what, I'll put them on, I'll sleep with them in. I don't have to do anything, just whip them out.
Yeah.
Amazing. So before I see my mum.
Was it the one that goes like over the sides? Yeah. Or the roly ones?
No, sausage.
Sausage.
Not a sausage one.
Yes.
Okay.
So I bought them, I did them, and I actually had deleted all my social media, but I re-downloaded it that week.
Okay.
But I'm going to put a funny story up about how now my life is sensational because my hair looks good.
Right.
And I'd never posted a sketch, I'd never done anything like that. And I posted my stories, I tagged the brand, it was like me running with my hair blowing in the wind, like, wow, now I've really made it. And they contacted me, and they were like, hey, have you ever made content before? And I was like, never in my life have I made content. And they were like, oh, well, we'd love to chat and like about you potentially being a content creator for our brand. I'm so grateful for them because they basically were like, we'd love to offer you a job being content creator for our company. I was the only content creator basically there. So I started making content for a heatless hair bowling brand. And I'd never posted my own personal stuff or anything. I worked with them for a year and my boss there, she was so amazing. She was like, you need to start posting your own stuff. Because like, I was doing comedy content for me.
Yes, okay.
They're like, why don't you put your own stuff? This is crazy.
That's never been
it's niche. But all my friends were like, this is so wild because you don't even brush your hair. That's the anomaly. But I was so grateful because my boss, she was like, you need to start posting your own stuff. And I started, again, not even posting about me or comedy. I posted about women's football because I was writing a pilot about women's football at the time. I was like, I want to see if I can like, make an audience to prove to like production companies, oh, there's this audience for women's football or whatever. Started posting about it and then grew my following like quite quickly on TikTok because I felt like no one knows me on TikTok. So
yes.
My friends are there.
It's so much easier.
So much easier
to post TikTok. Like just shit on
Instagram feels personal to us.
I know.
And my boss, she was
because people who know me are on there.
Yes, exactly. It's so scary.
Oh, who am I to school with are on there doing CrossFit?
Yeah, exactly.
No, what do you call them? High-rocks.
High-rocks.
All the mean girls from school are all doing high-rocks, isn't it?
Oh, God.
I should say one of my good friends is also doing a high-rocks, and she was a mean girl. You know you were. But
that's the anomaly, is the heatless hair curling. But if I hadn't have got that job, I would have never started posting content personally, and then from posting.
You have so many stories of you like being like, I'm gonna do something crazy and take a punt and try.
Yeah,
and then it just like work. But the amount of people who just don't try,
is insane.
Yeah, but you try and you do it and you give it a go and then it works.
Well, not like, and to be fair, sometimes I've done it and it doesn't work.
And that's fine.
But like these are just. All of the stories also are like someone took a chance on me and they like my boss there, she was the one who was like, you need to post personally on your topic. And if she hadn't said that, I would have never got the confidence. And again, I think like sometimes timing wise, the career you end up in, it always ends up, it is just how it is. Like I wouldn't have had the confidence to post online personally if I didn't have a year of posting for a heatless haircut.
Yes.
Like I would have never have gone from zero to posting my own comedy content. But instead I went from zero to posting behind a heatless hair colouring page, to posting behind football, to posting my with even stand-up. It's like I went from being an actor and developing and then being a writer and writing a play and performing in a play and performing in a play that was kind of stand-up and then trying stand-up and then taking a break where I learned writing comedy.
Yeah.
And then coming back and being like, wow, all the things I've learned about writing for comedy for TV, I wonder if I can make that for stand-up. And then like,
it all
I didn't have the confidence 2 years ago to do what I'm doing there. But like,
I think this is the thing that, like, I think those of us who've done these things know, like, weirdly, all these weird jobs, like, I have so much of that, and you have so much of that as well, mm-hmm. but, like, all these things where you're like, what? And you're like, oh, no, that's actually the reason how I ended up doing this, because X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
But, like, being like, oh, I'm a content creator for a hairless healer.
A heatless hair comes.
Now, that's comedy.
Hairless. You just bald. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, God damn it. And I'm thinking that. Whoever's doing the content now, you can have that one for free.
But yeah, I think it's always a combination of like people taking the chance, and also teachers, like having mentors.
Yeah.
Even coming into stand up. Like, I mean, Ruby is one of those people, like, there are so many people who are willing to help someone who's new and be like, oh, let me help you figure out who you're going to email. And actually, it's scary to ask people for help, because what that means is, you know, I'm now giving 100% because you've given me your time. And also, I want to respect and value your time that you've given me and the guidance by inputting it. And that's scary, like, to give 100% and to let people know you're giving 100% and this is what that looks like.
Yeah. I think you should get on LinkedIn and be like, just so you all know, I'm giving you 100%. With that, that means I'm quitting.
I'm telling LinkedIn.
Are you that's been around today.
Ninetting LinkedIn. Is it Ninetting?
What?
Only in the net. Am I getting the.
Oh, yeah, in the net. Well, she's like, I'm quitting stand up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, you can't. I do think, like, so much of what you said about, like, just, you know, saying yes and trying and stuff. I'm like, I can see some, like, tech bro people making this a real fucking stellar LinkedIn. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that is your darling dude.
Oh, we put this with, like, quotes of sunsets behind.
Guys, also, I'm not going to lie, with your look, I feel like we're going to post this podcast and LinkedIn's going to reach out to you and be like,
did you give a guys, it's hot. Hashtag and hashtag LinkedIn. Oh, they'll be the next
question. Hashtag all of it, please.
I feel like you kind of answered the last question in your most recent response, but let me know if there's anything that you're like, would want to add to it. But saying, like, in hindsight, what job did you learn the most from? Is it the heatless curl?
Yeah, I think it is the heatless curlers because it's...
I know so seriously we're saying.
I'm
not doing the heatless curlers. What was the best thing you ever did? Well, my mum taught me my hair looked like shit. And then my whole life got better. So mums actually are right. Right? When your mum is critiquing your appearance, she's actually trying to give you divine career inspiration. It's actually what your mother... Be nice to your mothers, guys, okay? They're actually helping. Do you know what? That's actually so annoying, isn't it? That your mum's like, if your hair looked better, then your life would be better. And you're like, fuck it, she was right.
And then she was my original sketch. Look how great my life was. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Because the last greatest thing that ever happened to you.
Because, it was probably that, just because, well, yeah, if there's much more to that. It just started a thing of, it helped me so much build my confidence in myself. And having someone else, like my boss, really believed in me of writing content and being.
We should share out his brat. Who is the
Eternal Muse?
Eternal Muse. A great woman-owned business.
And if they reach out to us, me and Catherine will wear it for the next.
I actually recently bought the different type of heatless coat, the like blowout ones, and it genuinely, like, everybody in work. It's like, oh my God, your hair. I'm like, it is actually weirdly slightly changed my life a bit, because all of a sudden everyone's like, you've the best hair. And I'm like, I literally didn't do anything but sleep.
See?
Okay. So Eternal Muse, reach out. I'll do it for you.
LinkedIn, Eternal Muse,
hashtag. How's it going? With that, thank you so much.
Oh, guys, thank you so much,
Courtney, for coming on. It's been so great.
Like, your answers have been so great and also very inspirational. Yeah. I feel like I need to, like,
because, like, I don't know if I actually am inspirational. Like, I'm also, like,
no, you are. I'm going to get out here and glitter my tits, curl my hair, and just wait for the divine inspiration to come to me.
Honestly, glittering your tits is wild.
I'm not lying. Like, when you were talking about it, I was like, oh my God.
It's super free.
I'm worried it's going to be itchy. I've got eczema.
Yeah, I get the fire as well.
Yeah, well, maybe, whatever, you should do that.
I actually get it on my nipples, which is the worst.
So basically, you put jewels on the nipples, and then you glitter around the nipples.
I'm worried the heat adhesive, though, would irritate the skin.
Yeah, okay, well, we can find some sensitive
ones. Yeah, that's fine.
The next podcast, we've got a ton of using as curlers, LinkedIn behind us, and glitter jets. Join in!
Our jobs!
And that's exactly the reason why you should check in next time.
Yes!
Thank you so much, Courtney.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh, so good. Thank you so, so, so much to Courtney for coming on. What a guest, honestly, because I feel like we had so many laughs, but also it's like such an inspirational. I feel like we got a little bit like Diary of a CEO at certain points. Like,
yeah. Definitely after that record, I was like, wow, I could change my life at any moment.
Genuinely, I feel like listeners, if you aren't right now considering all your life options and reevaluating them all and thinking like, I'm going to start a business, I'm going to just go for it. Like, I don't know what you were listening to, but that was the energy we left the podcast with. It was, yeah, Courtney's inspirational, but also hilarious and, you know, a wonderful woman for her career. Career. I shouldn't be
Because I
slagging
hate
anybody's.
that we're still saying that.
I know. And she's, the moment she said it, she was like, oh my God, no. And we're never letting it go. She's never getting over that at all. But yes, thank you so much for listening. Courtney was obviously such an amazing guest. Please go follow Courtney on socials. As we said, she is an influencer. Also, I don't know, for those of you who are watching, we talk about heatless curlers in the podcast. Now, I am actually using the one she recommended. She's yet to send me it. Spam, hashtag. But for those of you watching on YouTube and Patreon, if you're not, go watch. Look at my hair. It's all curled and it was one of those heatless colors. So it just goes to show that it does work. I've got like a bouncy blow dry look on today.
Anna,
Oh, and I
Catherine's
didn't
life,
even. You what?
your life is going to change today.
Change. Today. It starts today. Me and my bouncy hair are going to bounce into the world with a whole new perspective. Anyways, what do we
Right.
need to do, Ruby? Oh, we have a.
We need
Our announcement.
you. Oh, yeah, our announcement.
Our
We teased it at
announcement.
the beginning, and now
We
we shall share
teased it.
it at the end.
Ruby, take it away.
We're doing a preview of both our new shows
Yes!
in London.
Come see us live
Come see
if you
us
live in
live.
London or the greater London area. You could
I
commute in from Brighton or anywhere really in south of England if you really were committed to it.
also like 2 weeks before I'm doing a preview in Birmingham, but that's not relevant on this
There we go. If
podcast
you're
right
in the
now.
Midlands, you can go see Ruby. I will be coming to the Midlands soon.
But
But
our this one on the
joint.
26th of November
Good girl.
at Rosemary Branch Theatre,
Yes.
me and
7:30 p.m.
7:30 p.m. We will
Yep.
both be doing a preview of our brand new shows.
Yes.
Catherine will go on first, then there'll be a little mini break, and then it will be
Oh, am
myself.
I going first? Did we agree
Yeah,
that? Oh.
I figured you'd go
Oh.
on first.
Okay, well,
I
listeners,
feel like we said this.
maybe
This is in my head, or maybe I've been saying it out loud to myself.
I was about to say, I feel like this was just a decision Ruby made and Catherine never got told. But either which way, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Either way, one of us will start and do our new show, and then there'll be a break, and then the other person will go up with their show. But it's really, really fun. This is like sort of one of our first times of getting our shows on our let on. Its legs. So it would be really, really great to have supportive, lovely people there. And also, you could like see it now and then see it when it is like a finalized, actualized show. And you could sort of be there throughout the process, see how the sausage gets made.
Look, I'm gonna say it's gonna be a great show because number one, Kat, brilliant comic, and I know a lot of Kat's jokes, and they're hilarious, and you'll be br and they'll be fantastic, and it'll be really enjoyable. And my show is gonna get weird, so.
Weird, but also it is very good as well, and I'm obsessed with the concept. So yeah, that is on there. The link to that is in our bios. So go, please buy some tickets. Tell people you know who'd like to come see some comedy. And yeah, if you need the link to the bios, well, go follow us on socials.
Go
We
follow some
are
Ruby Vrim Vrim
and Cat dot Higgins
and
Comedy.
then
Odd Jobs Podcast.
also, if you've come to the end of this and you're like, whoa, this podcast is over already, then we are about to record and we'll be uploading at the same time as the podcast our Patreon exclusive content called Tea Break. And all you need to do is just sign up as a member. No money, no payment, and there's
All
loads of
free,
podcasts on
baby.
Patreon. So you can sign up and listen to loads of free content through Patreon without having to put any credit card or anything details in. Which
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I was like, this is amazing. So you can come over and we do tea break. It's just 15 minutes of us chatting and having a little catch
Yeah,
up if
we
you
should
want
say it's free for now. There will be from next week a little paid tier because we are from next week going to have some spicy bonus content. Let
that.
me tell you, I already know what the first spicy bonus content is going to be. And just subscribe. You're going to want to hear it. Trust me.
All
But that's
right,
a
we should
sneak peek
leave
of
you with
next week.
that.
But thank you so much for listening. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.